The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
The Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Will you please be seated? Good morning. Welcome to St. Margaret's on Good Shepherd Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter. Every year is Good Shepherd Sunday. We always hear from the 10th chapter of John's Gospel. It's the one where Jesus really works that theme of good shepherds. Every year we get a slightly different take on it. And every year it puts me in mind of my friend and colleague back in Palos Heights, Illinois, Pastor Wayne Bash over at the Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd. He was a good shepherd for me, and he was a good, he is an excellent pastor, and someone who really helped to teach me how to be a better pastor myself, and I'm so grateful to him. I think of him every time this year because it's their day. Good Shepherd Sunday captures the imagination of a whole lot of Christians around the world and has for a long time, but at the heart, it is not a complicated message. This notion of being a good shepherd is not complicated. The idea is simply this: listen to him, follow him. Listen to him, follow him. And if you do that, the anxiety level just goes so far down. Because sheep know that they can trust their shepherd. They know that if they listen to the voice of the shepherd, that they're in good hands. That's it. That's as complicated as it gets. So our opening hymn this morning, as we were walking in, processing in, "Jesus lives, thy terrors now can no longer death appall us." We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live in fear. We could live entirely in joy and in peace. "Jesus lives, by this we know that thou, O grave, canst not enthrall us." Alleluia. It means death doesn't have the last word. It means we can live here and now knowing that we're in good hands. And God knows there's a lot about death we don't know. But we know we don't have to fear it, because we know who holds us in the palm of his hand. There's a progression, I think, away from Easter, through this Easter season, there's a progression of ideas about how we respond to the resurrection, how we practice resurrection, as I said on Easter Day, that I thought we need to get in the habit of practicing resurrection, but I didn't say much about what it might look like, and I'd like to correct that today. The second Sunday of Easter, a week after Easter Day, Shannon Mallory preached, and he talked about Thomas's doubts and the mechanics of this, about that there was this proposition out there that something had happened with Jesus, and the apostles believed it because they saw it, but Thomas wasn't there and he didn't believe it, and can he believe the facts of the matter? And Shannon went on to talk about how much was at stake here. He talked about the balance of life and death. And he said that we preachers tend not to say much about death. We don't talk about it a whole lot. And he referred to the 23rd Psalm. And now, I know most of you don't have the whole lectionary memorized, but as he's saying this, and he's saying, preachers don't talk about death, and then he started saying, talking about the 23rd Psalm and saying, you know, that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, preachers never talk about that. And all I could think was, I'm preaching in 2 weeks, and I got the 23rd Psalm that I got to work in there somewhere. So thanks, Shannon. I'm right there. I think we can preach death, but not because we've got it all figured out. On the contrary, I think there are a lot of questions that we don't know the answer to. There are a lot of things that get our dander up. There are things that worry us. It's a frightening thought, but not one that we necessarily need to fear. Not because we've got it figured out, but because we know who it is that holds the thing in the balance. We know the voice of our shepherd. We can choose to live in peace. We can choose to live in joy and in trust. There's an escalation then from this proposition idea of, like, did the resurrection happen? Yes or no? The fact thing. A progression from that to what Clark talked about as belief with your whole body, with your whole soul, with your being, like hearing and appreciating good music, that we believe like credo, we believe with our hearts and our whole beings, and internalizing that belief the way that Jesus asked Peter to internalize his belief. And then I would say that the progression continues to, for us, as what are we going to do about it? How are we going to practice this resurrection? What does it look like? Well, I think there are a lot of possibilities, but I want to suggest that there may be one that is relatively straightforward and relatively simple. And that is to live in peace and in joy. To live in peace and in joy. And to trust. Belief and trust are closely related. You know, the idea that I believe in God is not because I assent to propositions. The idea that I believe in God is that I trust God, that I know God, that I know the voice of my master, and that I know that I'm actually safe. When I feel the least safe, which happens to me a lot, it's when I forget that I'm actually in the good hands of God. And the fact is that it's a good lesson to hear on this Good Shepherd Sunday, because though we would rather not admit it, we really are a lot like sheep, and sheep really are a lot like us. According to an article published by the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, sheep are gentle, sensitive animals who are emotionally complex and highly intelligent. Keith Kendrick, a professor of medicine at Gresham College in London, they write, found that sheep can distinguish between different expressions in humans and can detect changes in the faces of anxious sheep. That's just like us. I can look at your face, and if you're nervous, I'll pick it up, and I'll get nervous, and I'll get anxious. And if I'm the one standing up here in the middle and I'm talking to you and I'm nervous and you see it on my face, even if I'm trying to pretend that everything is okay, you'll pick up on it because you're smart people like these sheep. He also discovered, they write, that sheep recognize the faces of at least 50 other sheep. There's a few more of you than that. And can remember 50 different images for up to 2 years. Professor John Webster of the University of Bristol found that, like humans, sheep visibly express emotions. When they experience stress or isolation, they show signs of depression, similar to those that humans show, by hanging their heads and avoiding positive actions. Like us, sheep experience fear when they're separated from their social groups or approached by strangers. Sound familiar? Sheep's heart rates have been found to increase by 20 beats per minute when they're unable to see any members of their own flock, and by 84 beats per minute when they're approached by a man and a dog. It's a lot like us. We fear for our safety. We fear when we're separated from the body. We fear when we travel into the unknown. And what are we looking for? We're looking for safety, just like the sheep are. We're looking to be reassured. We're listening for that voice that says we're where we're supposed to be and that life has meaning, life has purpose. And the thing is, it always does. It's just that we sometimes don't listen so well. When PETA staff members Carrie and Jackie visited the Poplar Spring Animal Sanctuary in Maryland, they found out just how captivating sheep and lambs can be, playful and puppy-like. The sheep wagged their tails when they were stroked. They affectionately nuzzled and head-butted the women in order to get their attention. Okay, I guess in that way, maybe they're not like us. You see, we have a lot to learn from sheep. We can, through the herd here, we can transmit the joy and the love of God, or we can transmit anxiety. We can do both. We can do either. Shannon asked us again, can we say more about that 23rd Psalm? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, what it looks like to dwell, and I think he was talking about heaven. What does it look like to dwell in heaven forever? I don't know. I'm not sure that I've seen yet. But I'm not sure that's really the question. The question is, can we who live here now stand the idea of dwelling in that house forever? Do we live our resurrection? Do we practice our resurrection by choosing to live in that house, by choosing to live in that joy and in that lack of anxiety? Or are we, like sheep sometimes, completely sure that it's only going to work if we work hard to get it right? I love St. Margaret's, and so many of you have taught me to love it through your own love and through your own work and what you've put into this place. And we've made it a grand place, and it is that. The catch is, and I have a new vestry that you just elected recently, and they're working hard, and they're highly motivated, they're highly excited. But like me, they've kind of picked up some of my own anxiety. They tend to do the same thing that I do. And this is not unique to St. Margaret's. This is just how the world works, right? They look around at a place they love and at people they love, and they see every flaw. And they take it in back to themselves. I've got to fix that. Oh, my Lord, there's something wrong. I've got to fix that. There's a break in one of the tiles over there. That reflects badly on me. That's holding St. Margaret's back. I've really got to get that fixed. We run around and we find things that aren't perfect, and we take it into ourselves, and all of a sudden this great gift that we have of the presence of God and our capacity and our power from the Holy Spirit to go out and change the world becomes anxiety about not perfecting ourselves right here and now. We don't have to perfect ourselves. We don't have to perfect ourselves. In fact, if I wanted to try to fix everything that is wrong with the place, I wouldn't stand a chance. Wouldn't stand a chance. But I can do this. I can dwell in the house of the Lord forever myself. I could live there myself. I could trust that way. I could feel that peace. I could feel that joy. I could choose to dwell there. And if I do, I have an inkling that other parish leaders would notice, that they'd see it, and that they'd be reassured by it, and they would start behaving the same way. And sooner or later, we would be out there without our anxiety changing the world. Because the world is filled with anxiety. And those who haven't written us off yet are hoping that we've got some joy to impart, that we have something to say. Sometimes we equate change and adaptation in the church with failure, instead of with faithful response from our shepherd to go further, to go into a place we don't already know, to a place we don't necessarily want to go, but to trust that good shepherd and go there because we know that that's where true joy is found. And however we respond, we will transmit that response into the world. And for better or for worse, we will change the world. So I have an idea. This is my big idea. It's a modest proposal. Andrew Green from St. Paul's in Palm Springs, my colleague, was mentioning to me yesterday an idea about how to think about stewardship in terms of pledges, spiritual pledges that you make in all kinds of fields and the way that you manage your relationship before you even get to the financial pledge. And I want to pledge to you for a short time, because I'm not sure how long I can sustain it, because, you know, I don't have a lot of discipline. I want to pledge to you for 1 month, between now and Pentecost. That's roughly a month. Between now and Pentecost, I pledge to you that I am going to try as hard as I can simply to live in the peace and the joy that Jesus gives us. Because I can see everything that's wrong. I can see all the problems, and I can choose to live there and worry and fret about them. Or I can choose to live in the joy and in the blessings. And I'm going to choose, to the best of my ability, which my wife can assure you may be somewhat limited, I'm going to choose to live in that, in the hopes that it rubs off on you, that you feel some of it, that you feel kind of invited to follow our good shepherd further into a place that neither of us has ever been. Because we don't have to fear it. We don't have to fear where we're going. We don't have to fear the future of the church. We don't have to fear our death. We don't have to fear a thing. The big idea is simply this, that we live in that peace because the strife is o'er, the battle is won. We can be joyful. We can be playful. We can listen for our master's voice, and we can stop what we're doing when we realize that that's not what we're hearing. That what we're hearing instead is that internal voice of criticism that says, you're just not quite good enough. We can stop what we're doing and say, that's not my master's voice. We could push the button like that Staples easy button that says, that was easy. We could push the button and say, nope, not going to live there. Now through Pentecost, I pledge to you that I'm going to live in the resurrection and that I'm going to invite you to live there with me. Barbara Brown Taylor is an Episcopal church She's an Episcopal priest in the church in Georgia. And she writes about the Good Shepherd and how we live and how we respond to this notion and what we do and don't know about death. She writes about it this way. She said, our belief tends to show up in our actions more than in our words. Sometimes even we have to look at what we do and to understand, in order to understand what we believe. We are not at heart believers in an institution or an ideology, but in a relationship that changes from day to day and month to month and year to year. Just because we believe does not mean that we are not afraid sometimes of what might happen to us. It just means that we believe we know who will be with us when it does. Some days we are as firm in our faith as apostles, and some days we are like lost sheep, which means that we belong to the flock not because we are certain of God, but because God is certain of us. And no one is able to snatch us out of God's hand. So if sometimes you have trouble hearing the voice of your shepherd, be patient with yourself, because some days it sounds more like a whistle, and some days like a cluck. Some days it sounds like a love song, and some days like a curse. It's not a voice that always speaks in words, much less complete sentences, but it can usually be heard sometime between your getting up and your lying down each day, leading you beside the still waters and restoring your soul. Be patient with yourself. And while you're at it, be patient with the rest of us too. You cannot follow a shepherd all by yourself. You are stuck with this flock, or some flock. And everybody knows that sheep are, well, sheep. They panic easily and they refuse to be pushed. They make most of their decisions based on their appetites, and they tend to get into the headbutting contests for no reason at all. But stick with the flock. It is where the shepherd can be found, which makes it your best bet, not only for survival, but also for joy. Above all, understand that you belong here as part of the flock. If you do not believe anything else, believe that. That whether you are here because you believe or because you want to believe, you are here because you belong to God's sheep, just like the rest of us. And because we do, we hear his voice, and he knows us, and we follow him, and he gives us eternal life. And we shall never perish, and no one shall snatch us out of God's hand. Believe it or not, here we are, and here we belong. Amen.